Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Luke Charles and we're so glad you could join us. But before we begin, let us open up in prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and that you're always providing it for us, Lord, and that you're always giving us the words to speak, Lord, and the actions to do, Lord. Lord, we also just thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit as well, Lord, that he leads us and guides us in all situations, Lord, and shows us things to come. And Lord, we just thank you that you've given him to us freely, Lord, without charge, Lord, or without price. And we just thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we get into the Word, studying out Scripture and continuing in the book of James. We are in chapter 4. And this morning we are, again, covering verses 13 through 17. So whether you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I want to encourage you to go ahead, pause the episode, and just take a moment to read through that section of Scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. And now the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, LaCharles.
In which I'll begin by reading verse 13 in the way that the Lord read it, had me read it. Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. That's the original translation. But the Lord said, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to the Lord, spend a year with them, buy and sell and be prospered.
Ooh.
Leave him essentially later
Ouch.
On. And I have a few scriptures that we will go to. I think the first one is in Deuteronomy. This is the 8th chapter, and I'll begin in verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Yeah. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day.
Nice.
And inside of James, we left off yesterday talking about how people, they'll come from the perspective of, I'm going to still do my own thing, essentially. I'm still going to choose my own will over you, Lord, and I'm going to do what I decide to do in the moment instead of listening and understanding what the Lord is actually saying. In which, as I said, the Lord explained that to me, and I thought it was interesting because I had always read the scripture as they were going to certain places inside of Israel, like going to Jerusalem or an actual legit city, but he was showing me that what he was referencing and what he was getting at is the people who go to the Lord for the sole purpose of being prospered and then leave him, which transitions into verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We'll flip to Ezekiel. This will be chapter 33. And I'll begin in verses 12 and I'll go to 20. Therefore, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. If he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores a pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair, but is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. Which is how the Lord was describing in that verse where it says, what do you know is going to happen tomorrow? The people who depart from the Lord from the perspective of they think they're going to get everything that the Lord has, what they think the Lord has, and then go off and do their own thing. Hmm. They come with the sole perspective of, Lord, I want your stuff and I don't want you. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I have the stuff, I'm going to leave you. Mm-hmm. Which leaves them in this place of where James was saying, you have no idea what is going to happen to you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Lily, you brought up the man who said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger so I can store up my grain and store up whatever produce from the field he had. And the Lord said, fool, did you not know that your soul was required of you today?
Mm, you left God at the wrong time, basically. Yes.
There's mm-hmm. never a good time to leave the Lord. Mm-hmm. But it was a demonstration of the heart and mindset. And people think that it's often the lie that the devil tells them is that they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. And then they start to creep out. Nothing bad happens initially.
That's right.
Then they fully commit to it and they continue running. And then the snare traps. Mm-hmm. And snaps on their legs. And that's what we have to understand is that we are here and going to, I would say, the city, which is the Lord, because we love him. It's not to make a profit. Sure, that will come along with it, but that is not the end goal, and that's not what we're striving for, which is referring to them being out of alignment and perverse in their hearts. And then let's head back to James. I have to flip there again, but... And then, I think it's verse 15. Yes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And which is referencing not from a perspective of, I'm never going to trust you, Lord. This is a aspect of what Jesus lived. He said, Lord, I want you to go forward and do what you want to have done in this earth. I'm not going to put my own will up there. I'm not going to say what I want to say, Lord. I just want you to have your perfect will on this earth. Mm-hmm. And that's also another aspect of it. They think the Lord is there to do their will, to mm-hmm. give them what they want so they can go do their will somewhere else with someone else later. Amen. Which is really what it comes down to. They just want the Lord's initial starting and then they plan to carry it on from there, mm-hmm. which is incorrect. And that's that will transition to 1 John 2, and I'll just read verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Which is referencing the heart condition of these people. Mama, you said that he's writing this to believers, mm-hmm. to people who profess the name of Christ, and the fact mm-hmm. that he felt the Lord inspired him to write this part of it denotes that the Lord already saw their hearts and their intentions. He already knew what was going to occur long beforehand, and he was encouraging them to come back to him, like the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy, they had not yet entered into the promised land. But the Lord said, I know what you're thinking in your hearts, and I'm going to encourage you to do what's right, because this is what this is going to lead you to. Feeling puffed up and arrogant, which is that arrogant boasting he mm-hmm. refers to in verse 16, mm-hmm. it is a mindset of that we think humans think that they have outsmarted God. They have gotten what they wanted. They made their profit. And the Lord was never the wiser onto what they were actually doing. They thought that they were wiser, essentially, that they were God. And as such, they could replace God at any moment, in any time, and that there was no consequences. And finally, verse 17 is saying that you who know what is right to do, in the regard of you who know me, you know my character, my nature, you know how I act, for you to go off and do it is something totally different, which is to John 15:22. I had to flip there. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Which is referencing, once you have a standard, so if you and Dad tell us to do something, Mommy, we have an accountability that we're going to do it. If you had not said that and you expected us to read your mind, then that would be something totally different. But when you and Dad specifically say, Lord Charles, I want you to go do such, and I don't do it, I'm going to be held accountable, and I'll face all repercussions that will occur afterwards. Mm-hmm. There will be no escape. And that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, you guys, you know me. You know how I roll, essentially. Like that servant who hid his talent in the ground. You knew I was a hard and austere man, but he's not. You knew how I acted and how I looked and treated the people, but you still did what you thought was right, which you thought was going to be acceptable, even though you knew everything that I was going to do, and you knew me, which is something totally different. This is also what they describe in Hebrews. He who has tasted of the goodness of God cannot be drawn on to repentance again, because they crucified Christ again in their hearts, meaning that they have already tasted and understand the Holy Spirit, how he works and how they can be used, but they turn their backs to him and say, no, Lord, I want no part of you, after being counted among them, which is referencing to Judas inside of Acts, that he was counted among them, but wanted no part.
Mm-hmm. So let me say this about the talents. What he was really saying to them, to the man with the one talent, is you judged me this way. You came to a conclusion and an opinion in your heart, and you decided that you thought I was like this, and you pronounced judgment on the master. But you didn't even hold yourself to the judgment that you said you made. Therefore, you're a liar, right? That's what he was really saying to him. Like, if you truly thought that all these things about me were true, you would have been hustling. You would have been working hard. You would have been thinking so that you didn't come into punishment in my presence. So no, you in fact just told a lie, and you're lazy. You're being deceptive, because there's no way, if you were that afraid, people that are abused, that are truly abused, they act like it, right? They're like, scrub the floor. They're going to see the dirt. Hurry up, because I don't want to get beat up. I don't want to be brutalized. So if the man actually was subject to the terror that he claimed he was, and that he came to the opinion and convinced himself and lied to himself, right, and told a lie out loud, he would have acted totally differently, which is what the master said to him. Like, no, I see hearts and intentions, right? And that's who our Lord and Savior is. But so God's not even fooled when we try to fool ourselves and then turn around and fool him with the deception that we try to create in ourselves, and then try to hold him guilty or accountable to that. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm not playing that game. So he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Back to James chapter 4, I really appreciated how the Lord ministered that to you. Again, he looks at the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there are times, like especially in when we look at the Old Testament, and as the Lord is even speaking here, it seems like he's being rough. It seems like he's, you know, you might even think, if you're looking at it from a natural perspective, why are you being so harsh? But the answer is, like even in Exodus, the Lord always told them what was coming so that they could rule over it and conquer it before. He told them beforehand so that they would have a chance to prevail, right? They weren't just totally in the dark. He didn't just leave Adam and woman oblivious about the tree. He told them so they could have a chance to win. He told them in Exodus chapter 8, all of these things. I know this is how the adversary is going to try to treat you. He's going to try to deceive you because you're connected with sin nature. And this is going to be a natural inclination for you. Don't take the bait. Don't fall for it. And as we're talking about this, it can always, all flesh is wicked before the Lord. But we don't always come to wicked actions or evil or sinful actions because we're intentionally going, Lord, I hate you. And right, that didn't even make sense. I called him Lord. I can't even do both. But we're not trying to, our conscious motivation is not to harm God, right? But we don't know the things that we've been taught according to sin nature, or the sin nature that someone else learned and they passed on to us as a form of education. We don't always know it was wrong. Like, I thought I was supposed to be telling God what I wanted and then have God come and do it, because that's the way the kingdom of God worked. And the Lord was like, no, get that out of your hands. No. Here it is. And this whole chapter, he's been talking about being self-willed. Don't be self-willed. The beginning of it, you're asking so you can ask according to your own pleasures. You're trying to make God fall in line and in suit with you instead of you being in line and in suit with him. And sin nature is equally repugnant to the Lord, but he does understand if we're doing it out of ignorance versus doing it out of willful intention. And he's saying, here's a line with that as well. Now I'm telling you, so you're accountable, which is what we were looking at in John 15. He told them in verse, I think we looked at verse 22. Let me get back there.
Yes, it's verse 22.
So in verse 21, he told them, you don't know the Father. Clearly you don't know the Father. It says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. He said, you don't know the Father. You're mistaken about things. But now that I'm coming, now they know. They've been given enough foreknowledge and information to make the right decision. And now they're held accountable. So there are times where we do things, like Paul said, I did it in ignorance. I persecuted the church in ignorance. I didn't know. I thought, because I had been taught, this is the way you do it. And then I was just going the extra mile to do it better than everybody else, to give it 100% of my effort and time, and found out he was on the wrong side of God with that. But he was ignorant about the truth of what he was really doing. So there are times where we look at situations in our life and we're like, yeah, God, you're going to bless me because you said that. That's a part of my covenant with you. But then we take it and it's twisted because we're ignorant and we fall into sin. So God is speaking and saying, hey, and here, look at this. This is not the way it's supposed to go. This is not the way it's outlined. But now that our eyes have fallen, they've alighted upon the scripture, we're accountable to no longer be self-willed and to be subject to God in all things and to desire to be subject to him in all things and do it from a willing heart. Because now we're finding out this is sin. This is arrogant boasting, Lord, to go, I'm about to go over here and do this and you're going to bless me, Jesus, and we're going to make this work and we're going to ride out. Telling God what he's going to do versus asking God what we should do is totally different things, right? And then I did want to highlight this one point. This is not applicable to whether or not God wants us to be healed, whether or not God wants us to be blessed. We don't need to go, if it be your will. He's already laid out those things that it is his will. But he's saying how we carry it out and go about it. Because God, if he laid a plan for you to come to salvation, he laid a plan for everything else in your life. And it's our responsibility to come to him and say, how do you want me to do this? What is the specific of you, where you want me to be, where you want me to go? Did you notice that the children of Israel did not go to, Antarctica? They didn't go to Rome and set up their place. They didn't ride out to the Americas. They've been there all this time. Why did they go to the land of Canaan?
That's where the Lord said their blessing was.
Bingo. That's where the Lord said to go. Abraham didn't say, you know what, Jesus, I'm about to take a walk. Because he met the angel of the Lord. I'm about to take a walk, but I'm going to go over here.
I'm going to head east and go to Asia instead of...
Job said it was good out there. I'm about to go see. I'm going to set my place up there and I'm going to circle this land, Lord, and you're going to give it to me. Because I heard it was like, come on. I counted it. I took account. I heard it was good. I think I can work it out. I'm a shepherd. I can do these things. I'm going to just strike out. And Lord, you're going to bless me when I get there. That's not what he did. God said, you go here, this place, here, this one. And this is where I'm going to bless you. And this is where I'm going to make your name great. And if Abraham had stopped like his dad, if no one even knows his dad's name hardly, unless right. You've had that revealed to you, his dad's name ain't great, but he had the same call to come to the land of Canaan. But Abraham's name is great because Abraham finished. He went there. He obeyed. He did. Right?
Yes, mommy.
So that being said, it's our job to no longer be self-willed, but to be God-willed. Just as we saw in our Lord and Savior. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Right? And Jesus didn't walk in a constant struggle. Right? And really when he was saying that, he was saying, Lord, I already understand this. And that was for our benefit that he articulated that out loud. And he was reining in the body, the physical body that was like, no, run, run, survive. Because God even put self-preservation in that body. But he wasn't struggling on a daily basis of whose will he was going to do, which is why he was given the spirit above measure or without measure. And we have limitations that we're subject to because we want to do what we want. And it's a struggle. But we can grow to the place that it's not a struggle on a daily basis.
Yes, mommy.
Amen. Well, there's a lot in there. So we're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, LaCharles.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you that you revealed to us, Lord, areas that we can work on, Lord, and that we need to work on, Lord, and that you have done so, Lord, so that way we can move forward inside of your perfect will and your plan, Lord. Lord, we also just thank you that you have taken the time to treat us as your children, Lord, that you have loved us, Lord, and that you have chastened us as well, Lord, that you have done all things that are needed to be a good parent, Lord. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.